Today is the first full day of Sesshin. Of Sesshin means of ongoing practice. Of course, our whole life is Sesshin, but we don't know that. So sometimes, often, we need specific practice times to remind us of this whole life Sesshin, the whole life Sesshin of being, if we want to say, this fundamental teaching that we are. And one of the aspects in clarifying our practice, our life, which is what Sesshin is, clarifying in being, in noticing where, how we're hindering or holding on or caught up, is to see that if I speak of them in this way, there's two sorts of, I could call them attention, I could call them concentration, I could call them samadhi. There's a momentary presence, noticing, being, breathing, standing up, sitting down, noticing caught upness, labeling, giving ourselves over to this breath, if I say it in such a way, or to this practice, or this koan, whatever is called for by this life moment, by our capacity, ability, and circumstances, our tendencies, our karmic habits, if I use that kind of word. So it doesn't matter which facet of that jewel we speak of, they're all this moment practice, this moment. Again, I use the word concentration or samadhi, this moment effort. At the same time, there's especially in Sesshin, but throughout our life, but in Sesshin, it's more, let's say, more evident and sensed, is a ongoing absorption into this moment, an ongoing being just this moment, ongoing life as it is. Of course, ongoing is a fiction in one sense, and yet in another sense, it's the life of the universe that carries and supports and nurtures us. And it's important to notice sometimes both aspects so that we give attention to them as needed. Because, what should I say, they support each other. It's like two hands when we're sitting in mudra. One supports the other. And sometimes there's this momentary aspect, momentary effort. And it's within the container of this ongoing. Our words are dualistic, so if I have a word like absorption or presencing or samadhi, we tend to turn it into a dualistic this and not this. And while that sometimes seems so, sometimes saying that distracts us. Distracts us both in terms of what effort is needed by us in practice, what, if you want to say, active effort. You want to say mindfulness or noticing or whatever word supports and nurtures you in doing what's called for. And of course, in doing this on an ongoing, let us say, ongoing stream or ocean of our life, it enables us, hopefully, sometimes, more often, to be present before speaking or acting in ways which might come out of self-centered habits or reactions which take us over sometimes in life without us even knowing them. Of course, we act them out, if I say it. Until we notice them, they have power. But if we have this active practice presencing, then their power is dissipated enough to notice them before we act, before we speak, before we do, before we react, before we act out. Sometimes while we are doing that, sometimes afterwards, and then we have to take care of what's afterward. Of course, from the beginning, there's nothing that you need to add, nothing that you need to know, nothing that you need extra, exactly as you are, exactly as you are. And yet, we need to take care of delusions or self-centeredness when those arise. And again, in English, this is all dualistic language, which, if we believe it dualistically, if we live it dualistically, then we keep getting trapped by that dualistic habit. We miss this moment of experiencing, of this moment of in as this body, mind, this body, mind universe that reveals to us, that lets us taste, experience, realize who and what we are. As Dogen Zenji says, fundamental meaning of Buddha Dharma is not to attain and not to know. But we, of course, unfortunately, look for all sorts of attainments and knowing until we are dissuaded of their value. It's okay if we notice so-called attainments. Those are good to get rid of. Those are good to let go of, since from the beginning they're a fiction that only perpetuates certain state of mind. Being just this, it's not some added state of mind. Being not knowing isn't something you have to become. It's who you are from the beginning. There's many ancestors have said this in many different ways. There's a Master Shito, when asked, what is the fundamental meaning of Buddha Dharma, Buddha's teaching? not to attain, not to know. Not to attain, not to know. When asked further, is there some turning point in going beyond or not? He answered, the vast sky doesn't hinder the white clouds from flying. The vast sky and white clouds are not different. And yet, sometimes we can say, vast sky and white clouds not the same. So, as we begin session, there's all sorts of aspects of our life that both support us in practice, but also become more evident in needing attention now, or evident in seeing clearly what it is and what is called for. In Sashin, on the one hand, we each have our own individual practice. On another hand, we are practicing together. Of course, right now, we live in a different world, so that we're together, and yet those of us in many directions, in many realms, are here as well with this, what I'll call the magic of Zoom, computers, internet, and so forth. But even this magic of being together in the Zendo is still magic. Magic in the sense that all the beings we encounter, whether in so-called real life, in so-called virtual life, are all opportunities for us to notice. What are they opportunities for us to notice? To notice this, if you want to call it self-centeredness, if you want to call it attachment, if you want to call it dreams, we wouldn't notice them. It's not a matter of noticing them but trying to get rid of them, but in the very noticing and ceasing to follow them along, to hold on to them. In the very moment of seeing what triggers, if I use that kind of word, a reaction in us, right there, we get the opportunity to see the myriad forms of this life that we are, the myriad forms of this body, mind that manifests as our life. Not as some lesson, but as the simple fact of the sky in which we float along, this primarily Buddha that we are, which manifests as all sentient beings, which is all beings that we encounter. We use the word sentient, but as long as we don't get too caught up in what isn't and is sentient, all that we encounter is sentient beings. Whether it's the tree and traffic outside the Zendo right here, or whether it's all the other various aspects that allows us to notice thoughts and feelings that arise, allows us to notice, and in noticing allows us to release any holding to them. Thoughts and feelings that arise. Thoughts and feelings, just different facets of who we are. Different facets in the container, if we use the word, of this greater ongoing absorption of practice that we are. That Sesshin nurtures and allows us to sense, come back to what I started with. Sesshin allows us to sense for ourselves. I use a different word. To taste for ourselves what our very life is. We have slightly different tastes of this. As you know, your tongue has so-called different taste receptors in different parts of the tongue, and they are sensitive to different tastes, let's say, or different forms of taste. I won't go into the details. Some of you are better at biology and these sorts of things than I am, but simply whether something is sour or sweet or bitter or so on and so forth. In the same sense, our whole being gets to taste the universe in myriad forms. Gets to taste the universe in myriad forms, especially as we sit in practice of Sesshin, sitting upright, in walking, in working, in resting, speaking, listening, smelling the incense when we walk into the Zendo, in hearing the wind when you walk out the door, in feeling the moisture outside, inside, in feeling the different, dispositions, tendencies that your life throws up in the moment. Some you're familiar with because, should I say, you plow those fields often. You go down those streams often. And some might be unusual. Their coming and going is not yours to take care of, except to notice when you cling to them when they show up, or when you resist them when they show up, or whether you play with them, entangle with them. That's why it's so simple. Taking care of just this moment. All of us, each particular one of us, has our own, let's say, karmic tendencies. I use that word in a very broad sense. Our own stream of life, our own sky filled with various clouds appearing and disappearing, just like in the clouds wherever you are, appearing and disappearing. We want to make all sorts of rules, explanations of them, but no need to. Our job is to be the sky, and our job in the moment is to be the specific cloud sky of the moment. And in being that, we're nurturing who and what we are and who and what everyone we meet is. And therefore, we appreciate them as they are. Because without them being as they are, without even our reactions to them, if you want to say likes, dislikes, love, hate, you could make up all sorts of categories. Pleasant, unpleasant. Facing and embracing all these myriad forms, sentient beings that are primarily all Buddhas, as Hakuin says. Nowhere outside sentient beings do you find Buddhas. And nowhere outside sentient being are you ever. You are always this sky, this white cloud that never gets hindered, or white clouds that are never hindered from flying. Never hindered. You are never hindered. So whatever appears in your sky, as your clouds, doesn't hinder you in being just this moment. And whether the attention is to the specific momentary effort, momentary, call it what you want, concentration, samadhi, presence, experience, or the underlying ongoing absorption of being this moment that carries us along, that nurtures us, that's our session. I don't want to say too much more at this point. I think I've spoken already too much. So please, all of us, this is the first day of session. And as we continue to practice, session will support us. In a way, this ongoing session samadhi more and more nurtures and holds us and carries us along if we allow it to. Thank you.